This morning I began by offering an apology to Brother Tim, at least saying I was going to, and then I never got around to telling him what I was apologizing for. But a long time ago, he asked me what I was going to talk about, and I told him that I had read a book called The Screwtape Letters. It's written by C.S. Lewis, and that I was going to talk some about the book. And then as I started studying into things, I ended up not talking about the book. And he told me about a week ago that he bought it and started reading it. But we've already made up. He's not mad at me anymore. But I do want to, for those of you that weren't here this morning, tell you a little about the idea of the book, because it led me to the study that we're actually going to do this week. The Screwtape Letters were written by C.S. Lewis, and it's a collection of made-up letters from a senior demon tempter named Screwtape to a junior demon tempter, his nephew, named Wormwood. And the whole book is just a collection of letters. But from reading the letters, you can figure out some of the things that the younger tempter is saying to the older tempter and the instructions he's giving him back. Of course, there's nothing scriptural about it, except that we know there are demons out there, and we know they do try to tempt us, and we know they do try to get us to fall, but whether or not this is how it works, don't know. But the idea behind it is very interesting to think about the ways that the demons and the tempters use the powers around us and the things in our environment to try to influence us, to move us away from what they call the enemy, which is God, trying to move us away from God. So it's very interesting just to read over it. Sometimes it's hard to read because it's written in Old British, so sometimes you have to kind of think about what they're saying. But if you read through it, you can follow along, and it'll just open your eyes to possibilities of what is actually going on in the demon world to try to get me and you to fall and to move us away from God. So as I listened to the book and I was thinking about that, I thought, well, I wonder what kind of things we have in the Scripture to fight back against that, to fight back against the trickery and the cunning wiles of the devil. And of course, the passage that came to mind was Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 15 about the armor of God. I'd like to read that if you'd like to take your Bibles and follow along. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Paul, at the conclusion of this letter, a beautiful letter, and we'll go into some detail one night this week about some of the truths that are in this letter. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." There it is. This devil, this enemy, this demon, this tempter, he is tricky, he is cunning, he is a wise old serpent, and we need to be prepared to not be tricked by him. Now, if you were going to buy a car from somebody that you knew to be a dishonest salesperson, you would go into that transaction with as much information as you could about the vehicle you were looking for. You wouldn't trust them. You would be prepared because you knew they were tricky. Well, we know that Satan's tricky. He's called the great deceiver. And so we need to be prepared as well. And this tells us that the armor of God can help us stand against the wiles or the cunning trickiness of the devil. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." Now the plan for the week is tonight we're going to talk about verse 10. We won't get out of verse 10 tonight. We're going to spend the whole night talking about being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Tomorrow night we'll be talking about how that we should put on the whole armor of God. We can't just have pieces of it. It's the whole armor of God. And that we don't fight against flesh and blood. And then the rest of the week, we'll talk about the pieces of the armor that we actually put on. So it'll take us a couple of nights to actually start talking about the actual armor of God. Now, Brother Allen, in his prayer tonight, he just about prayed the revival for me, and I appreciate that very much. The Lord works in mysterious ways, and I haven't talked to Allen at all, I don't think, about what I was going to talk about this week. But he touched on so many topics that we're going to touch on this week in his prayer. And one of the ones he mentioned was the power of God, His awesomeness and His might, and how that we need to receive our strength from Him. And that's where we're going to turn our thoughts this evening. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 tells us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." The idea of being strong really comes from two things. It means to receive strength. To receive strength. There's two ways that I believe we can receive strength. One way is by exercise. If I wanted to receive muscle mass and strength, then I would put pressure on my muscles, either through lifting weights or doing some work or doing something physically demanding, and then I would gain strength. So through repetition, through work, through exercise, we can gain strength. That's one way we can gain strength. Another way that we can gain strength is by surrounding ourselves with those who are strong. Now you imagine if you're walking down or through a parking lot. This is something we all could be familiar with. You're walking through a parking lot and it's dark, and there's some questionable looking individuals crowded around a vehicle. Now how do you feel? Maybe you feel a little vulnerable. Maybe you've got a child with you and you're pushing a buggy with one hand, holding a child in the other hand, and you're vulnerable. Because you're not going to let go of that baby, so if they wanted to, they could actually take everything you've got in your cart and walk away with it. Your purse, your keys, everything you've got, because you're not turning loose of that child. You're vulnerable. You don't feel strong. Unless, maybe, you're a master in self-defense and you know that whatever they throw at you, you can handle it. So you could feel strong from having developed that skill, or imagine the same scenario, but now you've got two or three 350-pound bodyguards walking with you to protect you. Now you feel confident and strong because you have people with you. You've received strength from those that are with you. And I think what Paul's getting at here is both. I think he's getting at that we need to develop and receive strength both ways. Let's look at a passage in Acts the 9th chapter, verse 22. This is a little obscure note in here about Paul. But it says that Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the Christ. Now I think this is interesting, and I love this passage because it shows us that Paul was not always as strong as he became. Now just think about that for a minute. Because we think about Paul and we think about this titan of faith who traveled, was shipwrecked, was beaten, was left for dead. He went through a lot. And he was a strong man. Strong in the faith. In another verse we're about to read, he talks about how he learned to be that strong. But this passage here tells us that he increased in strength. And what was he doing? He was studying the Bible with people. He was studying the Word of God and proving through the Scripture that this was Christ. So he got better and better at it. He developed his skills. Now, how do you feel? How strong do you feel in the idea of talking Bible with people? Talking about the Scripture with people. Talking about your life and your faith and how it has made a difference in your life. How strong do you feel with that? If you don't feel strong with it, maybe it's because we haven't exercised our ability to talk with people about our strength, about our faith. It says that Saul increased in strength because of what he was doing, because he was talking to people. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 13, Paul talks about, how he learned strength through the things that he experienced, through the struggles that he faced. He learned how to be strong. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity." The Philippians wanted to help him, but back then it was a lot harder to, box up something and hand it to UPS and ship it off to somebody. if you wanted to help somebody, you had to have somebody who was going to take the goods for you. It wasn't as convenient as it is today. So they didn't have the opportunity to help him. Paul then says in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I think that shows us that early on, it was harder for Paul to be content in his struggles. Think about where he came from in the Jewish religion. He was at the top of his game. And he went from the top of his game to the beginning of the enemy's side. And he had to learn. He had to learn how to be content. He had to learn through all of his struggles how to talk to people, how to prove that this was the Christ. He had to learn all of that. And Paul says, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." That's a skill that he learned. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. He knows how to have plenty. He knows how to not have enough. "And everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So Paul gives us both sides of strength here. He gives us the side of strength where you've got struggles that you're facing and difficulties ahead of you. And those questionable people that are kind of making you nervous in the parking lot, maybe that's a relationship with somebody at work that's just difficult to get along with and you don't know how to handle it. Maybe that's a relationship in your family that's hard to deal with and you don't know how to help that person or how to work that relationship. Maybe it's a child that makes you uncomfortable because you don't know how to help them. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Whatever the struggle, whatever the situation is, whatever the troubles are you're facing that makes you uncomfortable, that you don't feel like you've got the strength to handle it, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." So here Paul's talking about both. He learned through the experiences, but also through Christ's strength, which is the other side. Strength can come from those that we trust in. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 17, that Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil. He prayed the Lord reward him according to his works. He tells Timothy to beware of him also, that he stood against him, and that no man stood with him, but all forsook him. And Paul prayed that it would not be laid to their charge. Verse 17, though, is the key. He says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." So Paul's facing challenges. He's facing people that are against him, very strongly against him, against what he's teaching, against what he's standing for. They're fighting against him. They're making it very difficult on him. And it's so bad that the people that were with him wouldn't stay. They wouldn't stay to support Paul. But who stayed with him? Jesus Christ was with him and strengthened him to share the gospel. So Paul learned through his experiences. He received strength both ways. He received strength through experience, and he received strength through standing with Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ standing with him. So when Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord, he knows what he's talking about. He knows the impact of the strength of Jesus Christ, of having Jesus on our side. He tells us not just to be strong, but specifically to be strong in the Lord. And he tells the same thing to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." So it's no surprise, given Paul's own personal experiences and his challenges and his struggles and what he learned through his strength and through his experiences and what he learned through trusting in the strength of Christ and Jesus standing with him, it's no surprise that Paul tells Timothy to do that same thing, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How do you be strong in the grace that's in Jesus? How do you be strong in that? How do you find strength in the grace of Jesus Christ? Well, Alan mentioned that in his prayer too. He talked about grace and how that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve one ounce of what Jesus Christ went through for us on the cross. And what the suffering and agony that He faced. And we don't appreciate it. It's because we don't think enough about how much we need that sacrifice. See, we live in a comfortable society, in a comfortable country where we have, most of the time, more than enough. Way more than enough. We don't know the struggles that many people around the world face. We don't know the hardships that people face. And we can be lured into entanglement. The entanglement that Paul told Timothy not to be entangled in. So that he could fight. So that he could go to battle. He needed to be clear-headed so that he could focus on the battle at hand. What battle? The battle with the demons that are out to get us. The battle with the evil that's out for every one of us. The evil that we can't overcome on our own. The evil that is so big and strong that we can't defeat it unless somebody defeats it for us and we're on their side. And that's the grace. That's the grace that we need to be strong in, is that understanding that we cannot, could not ever have done this on our own. No way. We need to be strong in that grace. We need to understand it. We need to be strong in it, stand in it, believe in it, be able to talk to other people about it. Because that's what Paul tells Timothy to do. He encourages him to be strong and endure hardness as a good soldier, because Jesus is going to be with us. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 through 8. This is at a time when Moses is about to pass the helm of leadership over to Joshua. And God has spoken to the people, and God through Moses says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them." He's told them to go into Canaan and take the promised land that's been promised to them. He says, "Go in, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." That's a beautiful thought. And whatever we face, whatever it is that is our version of those people in the parking lot that we struggle with, whether it's a physical problem that never goes away like Paul's thorn in the flesh, whether it's a relationship problem, whether it's financial problems, no matter what our problems are that we deal with, that we're trying to overcome, that we struggle with, no matter what that is, God will be with us. And we should not fear to tackle whatever that problem is. Whatever that big, ugly change of life that we need to make, that we know is going to be hard, and we put it off, and we may have said for years, "I need to do better at this, I need to do better at that," but we've been afraid to try because we think we can't do it. Or maybe because we tried to do it and we failed. Maybe we haven't trusted enough in the strength of our Savior. Because He'll be with us and will help us. But God doesn't stop there through Moses. Moses called Joshua, and in front of all the people, He says specifically to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land." I wonder what Moses was thinking right there, because he knew the kind of people that he was leading, because he had had to deal with them. "You better be strong, Joshua, because you're the one doing it now, buddy. These are stiff-necked people. You better be tough. They're not going to be easy. I almost promise you, dealing with the people was a lot harder than taking over the land." And He tells him, "Be strong, because you're going to take them in." And then He says, "You're going to take the land which the Lord has sworn to the fathers to give them. And you're going to cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." So God's with him. And He tells him to be a strong and of good courage. So Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? That means that whatever we face, God's bigger. Whatever our problems, God is bigger. Whatever our difficulties, God is bigger. Whatever our temptations that we face, that we may struggle with, God is bigger. And if we don't know if we can make it through, we can think about our Savior. And in some way, He was tempted with the same struggle. And He'll stand beside us. And He'll be with us. And He won't forsake us. And we can feel the strength of the bodyguards, or the bodyguard and our Savior, standing beside us. You remember what it was like as a kid? When your dad was around, you trusted that everything was going to be all right. He was going to take care of you. If something needed to be taken care of, He was going to do it. That's the way we need to feel towards God. To be strong in Him. There's a sad story about a king in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, King Uzziah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he started to reign. And he reigned for 52 years. And he did a pretty good job for a while. Verse 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26 says that he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So here's a king who sought the Lord. He sought to find strength in the Lord. And he trusted in God, and God made him strong. God built him up around him. The next few verses tell about some of the ways that God built him up. I want to start reading in verse 13. It says, "Under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts, shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings." The habergeons is like a coat of mail. "Slings to cast stones." And listen to this. "And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones without." So they made something like the big crossbows that we've seen to fire arrows. And they made something like catapults to throw the big stones and the rocks in the battles and the wars that they would fight. And so he had this great strength that he had built up, but he built it up because he trusted in God. Toward the end of verse 15, it says, "And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong." So Uzziah trusts in God. He trusts in God to be there with him, just like Moses told the people to trust in God because God would be with them. Just like God told Joshua to trust in him because he would be with him. To be of good courage, Uzziah trusted in him, and God allowed him to build up this big army. And then all of a sudden he saw how big the army was, and he forgot God. And he got prideful. And he got proud. And he went into the temple to burn incense, which was something that he should not have done. And then somebody had to stand up to him. So here's the king, the great king, that's got all of this army, over 300,000 soldiers in his army, and now the priests have to stand up to him and say, "You're not supposed to be in here. Only the sons of Aaron are supposed to be here doing that. You can't do that, king." Now where did they find their strength to stand up to the king? Where did they find their strength to stand up to the man that had that big of an army? They found it in the God that gave him the strength that he had. God made him leprous on his forehead. It says only on his forehead made him leprous. And he was cast out, and that's the way he spent the rest of his life. Because he started to trust in himself. I think that's where we fail many times. Because we trust in ourselves rather than trusting in the strength of God. And that's why many times we make attempts to improve our lives and improve ourselves, and we tackle some problem, but we fail because we don't really see it the right way. We don't see this problem as something that we're going into with Jesus standing beside us. A man who's been through it all, faced it all, overcame it all with His strength. Sometimes we go into it with our strength, and sometimes our strength only lasts till lunchtime. And then it's over. Sometimes it only lasts till we get tired, and then the strength is over. It's in those moments when we feel weak that we have to learn more than ever to trust in the strength of the Lord. Paul doesn't say just to be strong in the Lord, but he says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Alan mentioned this in his prayer too. He talked about the creation that God has made and how beautifully and wonderfully made that it is and how big it is, and we can't even really understand it and comprehend it. Ephesians 1, verse 18 through 23. Paul's praying that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and over every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The power of His might. The word power is dominion, rule, to be in charge of. What does God have the power and the dominion and the authority to be in charge of? Everything. Everything. He made it. He's destroyed it once with water. He's going to destroy it again with fire. He made it all. He's above all, over all, in all, in His mighty power. And Paul says that with this mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. You see, sin brought this nasty problem on us. It brought this nasty problem on us called death. But God has power over death. And He gave that power to His Son, and He raised His Son up, who went to that cross through His grace, paid a price that we couldn't pay, and He raised Him up over all principalities, over all powers, over all dominions, over every name that is named. That means that Jesus Christ was bigger than the Nazis. He's bigger than ISIS. He's bigger than Obama. No surprise there. He's stronger than, bigger than our country. He's bigger than any problem this country has ever faced, will ever face, any problem this world will face. He is bigger. His might knows no end. His dominion knows no end. His power is bigger than we can imagine. That's who's walking us through the parking lot to the car. That's who's holding our hand as we face relationship struggles with family, spouses, co-workers, children. That's who's holding our hand when we face our own personal demons and overcome our own pride and overcome our own lust and overcome our own struggles. That's who's holding our hand. It's the One who's been given power over all dominions and over everything. It makes our problems feel a little bit smaller, doesn't it? To think about the power of the One who's in our corner. He gave this power to His Savior who stands by us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Verses have a little bit more meaning when we put it in this perspective. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's a beautiful thought. I love that passage. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He is bigger than all. He's over all. He's in all. He knows all. Why not? Why should I think that I can do better? Why should I trust my strength? Why should I trust my wisdom, my knowledge, or my understanding? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? Well, that means that when I don't want to forgive, I forgive because my Savior, my Master, the Creator, the Ruler that has power over death says, Brad, you need to forgive. So I trust in the Lord and I forgive. when I don't want to forgive. It might mean that I speak when I don't want to speak. It might mean that I'm quiet when I don't want to be quiet. It might mean that I actually practice the words that stuck to my bathroom mirror: be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Every parent needs to engrave that into their brain. We need to listen. Why? Because we're supposed to trust in the Lord. And that's what the Lord said to do. You see where this goes? When we stand in His strength, we just do what He said. Kind of the way I want my kids to do. Just because I said it. Don't ask why. Just do it. Just trust me. That's what God's looking down on me saying. He's looking down at me and saying, Brad, just do it. Trust in me. Walk with me. Lean on my strength. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul is talking about his own personal problem. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh. Paul, I don't know how many revelations he had. I know John wrote the book of Revelation as we know it, but Paul had a lot of revelations too. We know that Jesus spoke to Paul about communion. I don't know what else He spoke to him about, but He said that He was with him and stood by him as he was facing Alexander the coppersmith and those that were opposing him. Jesus was with Paul, and Paul had an abundance of revelation. And he said, so to keep me humble, I had a problem. We don't know what it was. There's some speculation that it was vision, because he mentions having to write in large letters. And we know he was blinded on the road to Damascus. Could have been vision, could have been something else. Doesn't matter. We're probably better off not knowing. But Paul had a problem that he had to deal with. And through this, he wrote one of the most beautiful verses. He says, for this thing in verse 8, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, again, here's Jesus speaking directly to Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What a thought. That when I absolutely am at the end of my rope, that's where His strength kicks in. That's when He steps in. The thing is, though, friends, I need to live at the end of my rope. I need to live all the time understanding how frail I am, how little I know. I don't care if you've studied 50 years. We don't know as much as our Savior. We're going to have a lot of knowledge. We're going to have a lot of things going to help us. We need to study that 50 years, but we need to always understand there's so much more to know. We need to always see ourselves as very tiny, very small, and always see God as, well, as big as you can imagine Him being. And He's even bigger than that. His grace is sufficient. And we need to stand in that. We need to stand in that sufficient grace. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, but where do they get going? They get going standing in the grace that we don't deserve. And we understand that no matter what's going on around us, no matter what ups and downs we're facing, we've got the grace of God, and that is enough. That's enough. That is sufficient. Paul then says, most gladly therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. He says, okay, Jesus, if that's how I get Your strength, if that's how I feel Your grace, then bring it on. I want it. I want to feel the weakness. I want to feel the struggles so I can feel Your grace. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Not like Isaiah. When he got strong, he was actually very weak. But when we see ourselves as weak as we are, we can stand in the strength of our Savior. And in His power, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You ever notice that God always required a depletion not always, most of the time required a depletion of personal strength and hope to make his power known. Think Noah could have overcome that flood without God showing him how to build an ark? Nope. Noah was probably pretty distressed by the time that 120 years was up. He actually got on the boat. But then, you know, I think it was probably worse on the boat because it quit raining. And then they were just floating. No land in sight. And then they strike land and Noah won't let them off the boat. I bet nothing personal, but I bet the women folk were biting at the chomp to get out of that thing. Can you just imagine being in that boat and Noah's having to stand there and say, not yet. We're not getting off. I know it's sunny and pretty outside, but we are not getting off this boat yet. What about Joseph and his brothers? He didn't have any strength there. What about Joseph and what happened to him with Potiphar and Potiphar's wife? Completely out of his hands. He had no strength there. What about him against the famine? What about Moses against Pharaoh? Moses against the Red Sea. They come up to the Red Sea. Well, we're stuck between an army and a wet place. Not a rock and a hard place. We're stuck between an army and a wet place. What are we going to do? The choices don't look real good. Well, here comes God. Parting the waters. He's bigger. He's bigger. God doesn't need bullets to wipe out an army. Just give him a good-sized river, and he'll take care of all of them. What about Gideon and the Midianites? You remember that story? God took him from about 30,000 men down to around 300. What about David and Goliath? You see the trend? When we are little, when we are weak, when we cannot do it, but we trust in God, we find strength in God and in the power of His might, that's when we can overcome. When we trust in Him. When we trust in the Lord with all our might and lean not on our own understanding. So friends, we are, as we begin to study the armor of God, the first part that Paul gets to. I had always missed this. I always jumped straight to the girding up your loins with the truth. I never thought about this. But can you imagine now when we start talking about the actual armor and we think about whose it is and how much stronger we are just because He's standing in our corner. He's walking through that parking lot with us. He's facing our struggles with us. He's been there. It's His strength, not mine. It's His strength that can get us through everything we face. There's nothing that we can't face with His strength. Paul tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong. Build up strength by exercise, by repetition, by trials. But also build up strength by trusting in the Lord and in the power of His might. And friends, that's my prayer for you, for me, and for all of us, that we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's our lesson for this evening. I pray that you consider these thoughts. If you have not been strong and in the Lord and the power of His might, and you want us to pray for you, we can do that tonight. If you've never obeyed the gospel and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're ready to make that change of life and make that commitment and to be baptized and to repent of those sins and to walk in a new way and you're ready for this new life, you can do that today so that you can stand in this strength. But if you don't, you've got no strength to stand in. There's no grace outside of the Savior. If we can help you, let us know while we sing the song that's been selected.